RadioArchives.com presents Murder Town, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by police captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, Murder Town. Chapter 1. Self-Confessed. A casual passerby might have estimated his age as 60, and would certainly have said, "There goes a mighty sick man." Paul Garvin wasn't thinking of the days when he struggled to start and build a factory, build it into a massive production line, and give employment to several thousands of people. Though he had often decried the moment of weakness during which he thought himself entitled to a rest and had sold out the business, he wasn't thinking of that now. Retirement hadn't made an old man of him, and he was in reasonably good health, according to Dr. Howard Fox, who wasn't merely his physician, but the husband of his niece as well. Heading toward the entrance of Central Park at West 72nd Street, Paul Garvin crossed Central Park West, oblivious to the heavy traffic, the squeal of brakes and the snarls of cab drivers. He walked slowly into the park, shoulders sagging, head down, fingers clenched so hard the nails bit into the flesh of his palms. It was early spring, still cold, but under the band of his hat was a profusion of sweat. Some of it trickled down beside his nose, and he brushed it off. He sat down on one of the benches, leaned forward, and stared at the sidewalk. Nobody paid any attention to him. New York is a city of individuals, a city where people mind their own business, in the strictest sense of the word. Paul Garvin slowly removed the glove from his right hand. He unbuttoned his coat, hunched forward a trifle, and reached for his hip pocket. Fingers touched the butt of a gun. A man suddenly sat down beside him, and Garvin quickly let go of the gun. The man spread open a newspaper and began to read. Then Garvin noticed just how many people were nearby. There were babies in carriages, young mothers, apartment dwellers seeking sunshine. Blowing his brains out in front of them would be a ghastly thing to do. Garvin rose abruptly. He had made up his mind. The thing had to be done, and soon, but not here, not in public. He wanted to die alone, with no interference, no questions. Just a bullet through the brain, quick, mercifully complete. Garvin half-trotted down a path, seeking a quieter section of the park. He skirted the lake finally and found rough paths almost like those he'd known as a child when he rambled up state forests. And, pushed well back, completely secluded, he found the right bench. There was something else he had to do, too. He'd almost forgotten it, and if he had and died, his death would have been completely in vain. He took a notebook from his pocket. He had bought it in a stationery store somewhere on Columbus Avenue. For several minutes, he wrote steadily in that old-fashioned, somewhat flamboyant hand so familiar to his friends. Finished, he turned back to the first page and carefully read what he had written. His lips moved as he...